Hour number two of Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday outside the third base gate at Truist Park. The Braves getting ready to take on the Washington Nationals. Excited about that, about an hour or so from now. But the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs continuing, and one team, I don't know if they want to be back in their city right now, and another is going home. We say hello to Greg Wyshynski. He is senior NHL writer for ESPN, and of course is always presented by Old National Bank. Get old here on the show. And Greg, let's start with Toronto. I mean, do they even want to show their faces today?
I think the best thing that could happen for them is them going on the road today. It's like for all of us, it's honestly, I'm tired of the same series over and over again with the Leafs. Like, I think it'd be much more interesting if they came close and then, like, fell on their sword, and it's not the same playoff disaster story that we seemingly have to write every postseason for them. But, I mean, it's just how it went, man. Like, it's inexplicable how this team continues to be its own worst enemy in the playoffs every single season.
So, I mean, what happens now? Like, if Florida's obviously flexing. Florida's showing why they're the defending Stanley Cup champion. So it's not like it would be them losing to a bad team. But in the event they can't force, you know, because they're going to have to go the distance now, in the event they can't do that, what's next for the Maple Leafs?
See, I'm glad you said that, because I do think that there's not enough attention paid to kind of like Austin Matthews' lot in life in the right. sense that The entirety of his career has been spent having to go up against Patrice Bergeron and, you know, like Anthony Cirelli and Victor Hedman and Alexander Barkov. And it's just like over and over again, this guy doesn't perform, and yet he's going up against these incredible defensive teams and incredible defensive players. I mean, it starts probably with Mitch Marner, who's an unrestricted free agent this summer. And you have a feeling that, you know, this will be the moment in which they break up the core. It has to be. Like, something's going to have to change. And, you know, it's a matter of, do they really want to pay a guy that much money for these kinds of postseason results? And then the other thing that's worth watching is Brendan Shanahan, who is the president of the organization. I think there's a lot of speculation now, and I heard this about a week ago, that if they don't advance in the playoffs, if it ends up in another smoldering heap, he might not return as team president. And the team to watch there is the New York Islanders, where they're going to be looking for a team president. They're looking for a general manager. Shanahan has a previous relationship with John Collins, the guy who's running that search. They both worked at the NHL at the same time. And so that's one to watch, that if he doesn't return to Toronto, it could be him taking over the Islanders.
That will certainly be interesting. And then Edmonton eliminates Vegas last night in a heck of a game. It had to go to overtime at 0-0. Edmonton scores in OT to send Vegas home. What do you think happened there? Was that just a determined Edmonton team wanting to get back, or did Vegas just not quite have it?
It's a combination of both. I mean, there's a real eye of the tiger thing right now for Edmonton. You could tell that's a team that felt the sting of losing in a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final. And has wanted to get back in the worst way. They're also just kind of hitting their stride at the right time. Like, defensively, I didn't think that they had it in them to be as good as they've been in that series against Vegas, where at one point I think they held the Golden Knights to one shot on goal in a period. And they're making both their goalies look good, whether it's Pickard, who's hurt, or Skinner, who obviously has had back-to-back shutouts, which is insane when you consider how bad he played earlier in the playoffs. And then the other thing, too, is, like, who scores the goal last night? It ain't McDavid. It ain't Draisaitl. It's Kasperi Kapanen. And so you're saying to yourself, okay, so this team right now is playing great defense. They're getting good goaltending, and they are not reliant on McDavid or Draisaitl to just provide all of their offense. Like, they're getting incredible depth play. They're a scary team. They look beyond where I thought they could look in this postseason so far. They've really, really come together at the right time.
Greg, I'm looking at the Carolina Hurricanes. You know, again, just a great team. And I remember going back to 06. I had a friend that covered that team and talked about, because I didn't know hockey in Raleigh, North Carolina, and said, look, they have such a loyal and fun fan base that they really love this hockey team. And now you look 18, 19 years later, I mean, they're still there. What is it about this Hurricane franchise, this team, that pretty much goes, I think, unnoticed across the league?
Well, first of all, like you mentioned, I mean, as far as the fan support goes, I think they've got a really, it's a really fun atmosphere at those games. I think they've cultivated kind of a collegiate fan vibe where people like to come out and they like to tailgate and hit it hard before games and then like go and have fun in the arena. I think they've done a really good job of cultivating a fan base there. As far as the team goes, it also helps when you make the playoffs like every year and advance at least a round or so in most years. The problem with them is the same problem with them, which is that they are a team that is going to be forever wanting that one more goal in the playoffs. And, you know, right now, I mean, they had a nice offensive explosion in game four. But right now, like, they're still a team that plays way too close to the margins. You know, it's 2-1 games. It's games that maybe go to overtime. And then it's just a matter of if they can get that one goal or not. And when you look ahead to maybe playing the Florida Panthers for the Eastern Conference Championship, like, we've already seen that movie. and if they don't have, you know, they went after Gensel and got him. They went after Rantanen and got him. And the reason is they know what they are. And that really hasn't changed for them, unfortunately.
Well, you know, it's funny you talk about playing the Panthers. The Panthers, you know, won the Stanley Cup and I got friends in South Florida who are season ticket holders, go to every game. So the fact that, you know, the Panthers, even though they've won, they'll never be spoken in the same breath as Toronto. I get all that, but still, look what winning does. And I think sometimes we don't look, at least me, I know you do, look at how these fan bases still support these teams when they're not their traditional hockey teams.
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah, there's still places that get the non-traditional market taunt. But, you know, if you go on the ground in Tampa, you know, during their championship seasons, I mean, that's a hockey town. You go to Florida, they're just starting to really, really take root there. Like, for example, I've always said you can always tell when a team is really hit in a U.S. market when they have their own team store. And the Panthers built one last year. So the Cup, the way they play, you know, the fact that they have a really nice practice facility they built, like, it's all starting to finally come together there. And it helps, of course, when, you know, you like the team. That's a big part of it. It's just like, it's hard not to like this Panthers team if you're a Panthers fan. I mean, if you're not a Panthers fan, you hate them. Because of Kachuk and Marchand and Bennett and all them. But if you're a Panthers fan, like, this is a really fun team to watch. They score, they hit you, they agitate. They're really good.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. Does Dallas end it tonight, or does Winnipeg live to fight another day?
I think Winnipeg lives to fight another day. They actually played really well in game four. 72 shot attempts. They got burned by the one really good line with Granlund and Hintz and Rantanen, and then they got burned on the power play a couple times. But honestly, like, they played good enough to win. And the other thing, too, is that obviously at home for them, it's a different story for Connor Hellebuck, their goalie, who at least has been replacement level at home whilst being a disaster on the road. And so I could see them pushing it to six. I don't think they come back to win this series, but it wouldn't surprise me at all for them to have one last push. Same thing for the Capitals tonight. And as you guys might have heard, I'm in D.C. There's like fire engines and stuff. It's great. I think there's a chance the Capitals could push this thing to six as well. I think they've got one more big push left in them before the Hurricanes put them away.
Yeah, I mean, with both of these series, like, I've really enjoyed them, especially Dallas and Winnipeg. But I've been surprised that both sit at 3-1 right now. I kind of thought that these had the makings of going seven, at least six, you know, and it could still do that, but being more of a back and forth than it has been. So I agree with you. I think Winnipeg pushes it tonight, and I also think Washington pushes it tonight. So we're on the same page.
I hope so. I think it makes for a more exciting postseason. You know, I fully expected the results that we're seeing. I mean, I at least in the Dallas series, I actually had Washington winning in seven. We'll see what happens there. But you know, Dallas is just the Dallas Winnipeg match. I'm sorry, the Dallas Edmonton matchup that's on the table right now for the Western Conference Final is like the heavyweight fight we all want to see. And I really hope that Winnipeg doesn't ruin it for us.
Yeah, and look, I thought Dallas was going to ruin it for us, you know, going into the playoffs because they were just limping into it. So I was like, oh, boy, St. Louis or, you know, or no, St. Louis had Winnipeg. But Dallas is going to get, you know, taken care of and not even get to where they need to go, and then they somehow turned it on.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, part of that is Mikko Rantanen going into beast mode for them. I wrote a story about Rantanen on ESPN.com this morning that kind of goes into how bizarre his year has been and kind of into how he's been able to explode offensively in these playoffs. And, you know, part of it is finding his people. They put together him and Granlund and Rupe Hintz as the Finnish mafia line, as they're calling it in Dallas. You know, he's been setting records and powering them and really showing that he's A, worth the money, and B, can do his thing outside of McKinnon's shadow, which I think is very important to him.
What coaching dominoes do you expect to fall soon?
That's a good question. I mean, like, you know, obviously Tocchet goes to the Flyers, Vancouver signs or elevates Adam Foote. For me, that's like, let's find another way to try to keep Quinn Hughes here. I know we'll elevate the assistant coach that helped him win the Norris. The next one to fall that I feel it will be an interesting one is probably Seattle. I know that they had talked to Tocchet, and it maybe even made him an offer, but obviously he went in another direction. So I'll be intrigued to see what they end up doing in Seattle. I feel like they're a front office that can sometimes go outside the box with their thinking. And so maybe it's somebody that's not even on our radar right now.
Yeah, could certainly be interesting for sure. Greg, appreciate it as always. Enjoy Washington, and we'll talk next week.
Anytime, boys. Thanks.
That is Greg Wyshynski joining us here on the program presented by Old National Bank. Get old. We'll get back into the Titans schedule and the NFL schedule coming up next. Again, we're live in Atlanta. Well, just outside of Atlanta, Marietta, here at Truist Park as the Braves get ready to take on the Washington Nationals as a part of their May in the A promotion. Coming up on May 23rd, it is Military Appreciation Night presented by T-Mobile. Ticket package includes a military-themed Braves T-shirt and includes a $4 donation to the Warrior Alliance. The Battery of Atlanta and our pregame celebration will celebrate and honor our military and will feature Medal of Honor recipients, veterans, and more. You can go to braves.com/promo for a full list of promotional items and celebration nights coming up for the rest of this month. It's Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Oh, for God's sake.
Dr. Crane, why are you texting me your opinion? Just tell us.
You guys have great opinions. I don't want to interrupt your show.
No.
He's texting me his one line at a time. These are costing me 10 cents a piece, you jack. I'm roaming.
Chase and Big Joe.
Yes.
102.5, 106.3 The Game. What was that from?
The Office.
That's The Office?
The Office.
What was her name that owned Saber?
Joe.
Joe, yeah. Kathy Bates.
Oh, that's awesome.
Real quick, Chaser, it's good to see Derrick Henry's washed up. He's got a nice fat extension.
Let me do something,
yeah,
and then we'll do that.
Sure.
I would like to say a happy third work anniversary to our man, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier.
Thank you,
He's
gentlemen.
He's done a wonderful job with us, has grown.
He has grown.
Now he is our babysitter. And so we're excited for that, but he has done a great job. And so congratulations, Dr. Crane.
Thank you very much. Inch by inch, I keep on growing.
What are we up to now? 4.5? 4.6?
And
in your
more.
Honor, Chase and I are going to have a sip of a orange cream Coca-Cola that they're handing out here at Truist Park.
We are.
Absolutely so, delicious.
The Coca-Cola company can email together at CromwellMedia.com and ask for Chase or Joe, and we'll start working on
it. We will happily do what Nick Saban will put on our podium, all Coke products.
Yes, we would totally do that.
Together at Cromwell.com. Thank
Cromwell
you.
CromwellMedia.com.
CromwellMedia.com.
All right, now, what do you say? Derrick Henry, yeah, he's washed up now. And I want to say this. Titans fans, listen to me. If you're on the road, pull over.
I want you to do that.
I want you to just slow down, but I want you to listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. I don't want to hear any of this. Well, we could. Why didn't we re-sign it? Oh, we could have done that. He could have. Oh, guys, he wanted to leave. I know that hurts. I know you don't want to hear that. He was ready to go. He wanted to go to a winner. He knew this team was in a rebuild and that this team was not going to be in a position to get to a Super Bowl. Baltimore is. It sucks. It's a part of the business.
Right.
It's a part of life. He'll forever be in our hearts. One day, 22 will be retired because he's going to Canton, and he will go in as a Titan. But he was ready to go. So I've seen on Twitter of like, why, you know, screw the Titans. Why didn't they do that? He didn't want to be here, man. He was ready to go.
He's got a nice little deal. He'll get $25 million in guaranteed money for the next, what, three seasons to the 2027 season. So
that probably takes him – well, I mean, he's 31, so that would take him to when he's, what, 35, 34? 30, yeah. 34.
I don't think this dude hangs it up at 34.
I don't think so either.
I'm telling you, man, stop with the, oh, he's 30, he's over the – Derrick Henry doesn't know age. Good athletes don't know age.
Yeah.
It's not like he's injured all the time.
Well, I heard Paul say it yesterday, and it's the absolute truth. He's going to hit a wall one day, but he doesn't show that he's close to hitting that wall. That day will come. It happens for everybody. Father Time is undefeated.
Right.
But at 31, he's in the best shape of his life. He's taking care of his body. I don't think he's close to hitting that wall.
I'm with you, man. Look at his insane workouts, all he does. I mean, the guy is just a force, and he's athletic, and he's big, and he's strong. He takes care of himself. He's been pretty much injury-free except for that Liz Taylor injury he had.
Liz Taylor. You know what would be an awesome, ideal scenario? 4 years from now, the Titans are opening up a brand-new stadium. They're back. Cam Ward's an MVP caliber quarterback in the National Football League. They're contending, and they need a good red zone goal line running back, and he comes home.
Good Lord.
Not going to happen, but it would be. Comes home for one more ride.
I don't know. Crazier things have happened.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I don't know, man.
But he's good for him. I'm glad he got the extension. He deserves it, and we'll see what Baltimore can do.
Yeah, I'm just probably not. I'm just glad the Ravens aren't on the schedule. The Ravens and the Bills aren't on the Titans schedule this year, and they truly got a last place schedule to deal with. And I'm gonna say it again, Chaser, say it all the time. You just gotta be better than three other teams in your division. That's it. That's all you gotta do. And I think the schedule, as you said earlier, isn't daunting. There are some challenges on there like every schedule is, but there's some winnable games, man.
1978, as a Titans fan, I understand Henry. I don't want to be here either.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wes in Clarksville said, I know he wanted to leave, but Titans ignorance made him want to leave. I mean, maybe so, but, I mean, again, the window had closed.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Like, yes, there were some missteps, but there's also – you know, the owner caused some of those. Let's not gloss over that. It was everybody involved. And so, therefore, the window closed. And that happens. Like, eventually, the Chiefs' window is going to close. And it might even be before Mahomes is done. You know, when his supporting cast is gone, when Kelsey's gone. We have no idea what Patrick Mahomes looks like without Travis Kelce.
It's true.
You know, so, I mean, it's just you got to kind of accept that the NFL truly does stand for not for long.
It does. You know what? Going back to Derrick Henry, I would have loved to have been in that locker room when they found out – not locker room, I'm sorry. All of them when they found out John Robinson was fired. You know, because I've heard some say, well, it didn't have an effect on the team.
Yeah,
they lost, what, every game after that? Did they not? Five or six after that?
They didn't win again.
So,
and they had a winning record and were leading the division.
You think at the time, Derrick Henry's like, all right, look, you got rid of A.J. Brown. That hurt immensely. Now you fired the GM who put it all together, and maybe there's some reasons why you should have fired the GM after his awful draft choices for 2021. But I think, again, I think his hand was forced to have to trade – A.J. Brown, and it happened. But maybe it's to the point of like, what's going on here? I want to get out of here. Good for him. He was a free agent. You can go wherever you want to, man. And the Titans wanted to sign him. They made it clear they didn't want to. That's fine. And go and do your thing, Derek. And
Skyler says, clearly y'all don't understand sarcasm. Skyler goes, how high is Chase? So optimistic about the Titans getting primetime games. Says they could be 4-2 by the Patriots game, and now he's breaking the straw, saying Henry might come home when Cam Ward is an MVP. I did not say that. You need to go listen to exactly how I worded things. I said, what if? I said, in playing devil's advocate. I don't believe it, but come on. Sarcasm.
Yeah, come on. Get
listen it. To the tone of my voice. Justin and Greenbrier, Chase, I hear what you're saying about Derek, but it really does hurt. I think he's the best homegrown Titan and should have retired one. Look, I would have loved that, but it just doesn't happen.
Let me ask you this. Nobody stays here.
Yeah, no, it doesn't
happen. Where'd Steve go?
Baltimore.
Where did Eddie go?
Dallas.
Where'd Derek Mason go?
Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah, and then now Derek's and Samari. I mean, it Baltimore. Doesn't – it's just the way it is. You guys, they leave now and go. It's tough to keep a guy around forever. It really is.
It is. I mean, and it just, again, you enjoy it while you have it, and then remember it when it's gone. That's just kind of how it works.
That's it, brother.
615-737-1025. We'll run through the Titans schedule again coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 the game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 the game. Tune in to 1025 the game this afternoon as Vanderbilt Baseball opens their final series of the regular season against Kentucky. Pregame at 5:45, the first pitch at 6. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. We're live in Atlanta. May in the A, the Braves taking on the Washington Nationals as they'll close out their series this afternoon. Hit the road, head to Boston. But a good crowd on hand. We're excited. We're going to stick around, watch a little bit before we head back to Nashville. But really appreciate the Braves for having us here today. Just outside the third base gate, we've even had a few people stop by with Nashville connections.
That's so fantastic, man.
Very, very cool that people were able to do that. A lot of people weighing in on the Derrick Henry stuff. Dustin in Hopkinsville said, you got to be consistently past the first round of the playoffs to get elite players to stay. We're the NFL farm team / nursing home.
Not far off from that.
0247, the Titans seem to be the farm club for Baltimore.
That's been around for a while. And look, you know, I know it was a beating of a dead horse a year ago and all that. Look, let him go. He wanted to go, and they let him go. Look, if you're going to be someplace and you could do better in your career and get a Super Bowl, he's not winning a Super Bowl here.
No.
And that's a cold, hard truth for a lot of people. He's not. He's a lot closer there if Lamar Jackson knows how to throw a pass that doesn't bounce.
And Mark Andrews
people.
Catches one.
Yeah, right.
Now, I will say this. I don't think he wins one in Baltimore. I don't think he wins one.
I think they're close.
I think they're close, but I think they'll always be close. There are two teams, in my opinion, in the National Football League, besides, you know, Kansas City, but that are on that, they're right there close. I think one gets over the hump and one doesn't. Buffalo does, Baltimore doesn't.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Maybe that's a hot take, but that's kind of my thought.
Because
Kansas City's not going anywhere. And when they lose, they get pissed off for greatness and go and win two in a row.
But they got exposed.
They did.
Bad by the Eagles.
Tampa exposed them too, and they bounced back and won two in a row.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. And so I think last year was a little complacency had set in, and
yeah. They
understand that. I'm that AFC North with the Ravens and the Steelers are always going to be good, but the Bengals – I mean, so if they can get out of the AFC North – I think the Ravens have a great shot growing. I don't know if they can. I think the Bengals and Joe Burrow are going to be on fire this year. Absolute fire.
I don't think you're wrong. The Titans schedule, they open the season at Denver on September 7th. Home against the Rams the next week. Home against the Indianapolis Colts. Back on the road for three in a row starting September 28th. At Houston, at Arizona, at Las Vegas. Vrabel returns with New England on October 19th. At Indianapolis on the 26th, and then the Chargers on November 2nd before the off week. Four in a row, technically. After the bye, three in a row, Houston on November 16th, then Seattle, then Jacksonville. On the road for two starting December 7th at Cleveland, San Francisco, and then back home for Kansas City on December 21st, New Orleans on December 28th, and then TBD at Jacksonville to close out the season.
Is there a visiting team takeover on that schedule? It won't be the Jags or the Colts or the Texans. The other five that they have.
I would say maybe the Patriots. Because they've always traveled pretty well.
Yeah.
Patriots, Kansas City, probably.
And that's the game before Christmas, right?
Yeah. It depends on what the Saints are.
It's got a pretty good little following there. But that's, week 15 or 16?
They got three quarterbacks with as much experience as you and me.
So. All right. They do, don't they?
I don't know. Let's go to the phone. 615-737-1025. German by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Buffalo has a comment on the schedule. Hello, Buffalo.
Big Green Bay fan. I was looking at Green Bay's schedule. They got two Sunday night games, two Thursday games, and a Monday night game. That's pretty darn good for old Green Bay. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, got a good team.
Thanks, Buffalo.
Good core, good
Robbie. Robbie would comment more on Green Bay than we do, but, you know.
I think Green Bay's Packers.
Yeah.
They've always gotten good games like that.
Kenny the Mailman.
Yes.
I guess listen to our Tom Glavin interview and wants to weigh in on that. Hello, Kenny.
Oh, fellas, absolutely loved it. And I know it's hard. It doesn't even have to be stars, but I'd love once every couple of weeks you would have a role player or anything. Baseball players have the best stories. Have y'all ever heard about the only one game Tom Glavin was thrown out in his pro career?
No. I think I do remember this, but tell the story.
He was throwing at Dale, of all people.
Dale
Murphy,
June 4th,
1991, we took two van loads of people to Atlanta to see Dale Murphy night. But unfortunately, a fight broke out that night. Otis Nixon was hit he's from Murfreesboro. And he took off and right before he got to the mound, he jumped and kicked Wally Ritchie, the pitcher, giving him 7 stitches in his stomach from his cleats. So the next week, Phillies were going to get him back, and they hit him, and it was over with. But they hit him again in the 8th inning. Tom Glavin went out. He was going for the all-time record. He had 12 strikeouts for a left-hander for the Braves. Bobby Cox said, "You have to hit the next guy up." And he says, "No, I'll get Hayes. I'm not going to throw at Murphy." And Cox said, "No, the way we play, you're throwing at the next guy up, no matter who it is." And it was 4 lollipop curves. He didn't even hit Dale Murphy, but on the 4th one, the umpire threw Glavin out because it was close. you never know what's going to happen in a baseball game.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, and he laughs about it. You can see him talking about it on YouTube, but he got thrown out for throwing at Dale Murphy.
Yeah.
Love it.
I hate to say it. Hey. Thanks, Kenny.
Hey, y'all have a great day.
You too. I hate to say it. Bobby was right on that. Bobby was totally right.
What, hit Dale Murphy?
Throw it the next guy, no matter who it is.
Nah, you ain't throwing Murphy.
Yep. I know, but I'm with Bobby on that one. I'm with the skip. A couple of other texts. Justin and Greenberg, dadgummit, which, great word. The Titans need to start poaching on the Ravens' land. That organization has been consistently good for a long time. We need to start sending people up there to throw a wrench in the works. They should have sent Chad Brinker up there to sell them a bill of goods like he has sold Amy. And maybe their organization would implode.
That's a good one.
Sitting here on May 15th, projected record. I don't know. I
what's Vegas? 4.5 gave them? Is that
probably,
right?
Probably, yeah. I think they're a 5-win football team. At best.
I mean, that's an improvement from what they were last year. I don't know. A lot depends on that first game against the Broncos to me. You win that, you come back, you got two games you can win at Nissan Stadium with the crowd behind you, hype, feeling good. I mean, my goodness. I did this last year, too, and I was like, what are you doing, Joe? But, again, it'd be the positive part of that. You come back, you start 3-0, man. Then you got the 3-game road trip against Houston at Arizona and Vegas. Go 1-2 there. Then you're sitting there looking yourself at 4-2.
But here's the thing. If they end up with 5 or 6 wins – obviously, that's not the end goal, but aren't you going to view that as, okay, step in the right direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think to me,
and if they're competitive in the losses, this is how bad it is. This is
right?
I'm trying to justify this. Like, this,
I mean, I think your goal is the playoffs, not to get six or seven wins.
I know, but you got to start somewhere. I mean, that's what I'm asking the fans. I mean, like, I agree. It's playoffs. It's Super Bowls. I mean, that's what it needs to be. But it was a 3-win team last year.
That's right. You're right. No, you're exactly.
And they
right.
were lucky to get some of those.
You're 100% correct.
But Dustin says, I think they only win 5. Callahan gone. Got to win 7 to keep Callahan.
That's the interesting thing, too, is that you want – I mean, if they win 5 games, there's a little improvement. You fire Callahan, you bring a whole new staff here again. You send him back for another –
I know people don't want to hear this. It depends – if they only win 5 games, it depends on what the 12 losses look like.
True.
If they're blowouts – then, yeah, he's gone. If they're competitive and they're in these games and it's just a young team making mistakes, then he probably stays.
All right, let me ask you real quick before we go. Mahomes, how many head coaches has he had since he's been in the league?
1.
Josh Allen.
1.
Joe Burrow.
1.
Yeah, I mean, so
yeah.
There's – I know they're winning. You know, the Bengals weren't great in 20, but Burrow got hurt. But
a few coordinators, still, but
– you get that – comfortability with everybody going on there, and you kind of build upon those.
Yeah,
and you get going, and do all that. I think firing, unless they go 0-17 and a horrible, and he makes some of the worst coaching decisions ever, then he's gone.
Josh Allen is a little more not impressive, but because McDermott's a defensive minded coach,
right?
And so he's gone through a different coordinators. Whereas Andy Reid and Zach Taylor have pretty much been Mahomes and Burrow's coordinator.
You are correct, sir.
So that is something to interesting. 1978 says, never mind. But I see your point. Coming up next, we will go to What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays. We're live outside of Truist Park. Braves and Nationals here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Nashville's best deal of the week is Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. Just head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, live in Atlanta outside of Truist Park. Coming up next, technically the Chase and Big Joe show continues, but it'll be Dr. Crane and Connor Newt holding it down because we got to clear the area as they get ready for first pitch.
So we just got our buddy Ricky to send us a note that the actor Joe Don Baker passed away. Now, why is that important? Well, let me tell you why.
It's been a lot of stuff.
He played Buford Pusser in Walking Tall, the original Walking Tall, which you've never seen that movie about a Tennessee sheriff. It is a fantastic.
Not the version The Rock did.
That had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Right. So watch Walking Tall with Joe Don Baker, and it's amazing. I know him better as Chief Bone Cancer from the movie Fletch.
Ah.
Remember when he said, you and Tommy Lasorda? He's like, yeah, we're friends. And Fletch hits the pitcher and says, I hate Tommy Lasorda. So rest in peace, Joe Don Baker.
Rest in peace indeed. With that, let's get to What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays. It is presented by Jarek. Just stared off.
Every day.
It is presented by Jarek Companies, Inc. Above and beyond industry standards. Visit them at JarekCompaniesInc.com.
All right, gentlemen. First on the list, we have National Senior Fraud Awareness Day. So
yes!
Just make sure about that. Bring Flowers to Someone Day is today. Brown Bag It Thursday. Global Accessibility Awareness Day, HG Awareness Day. There are a lot of awarenesses going on.
What's HG?
It stands for Hypermissus Gravitardium. I don't know.
What?
That's what it's saying. It's a long, looks like it's Latin. I don't know. Hummus Day is today. Love some hummus. International Consciousness Objectors Day. This is just ridiculous.
Consciousness Objector?
Whatever.
Conscientious objector?
It's a tongue twister. International Day of Families.
Do you know what that means?
Conscientious? Sort
objector.
Of. I don't know. Can we just continue? I'm losing just brain cells.
Oh,
too
God.
Much. International MPS Awareness Day. That one I'm not going to pronounce. It has like 27 letters in it.
Yeah, Nashville Public Schools, we love them.
No,
yeah.
It's like mucopolysaccharidic.
No, stop it.
All right.
Sometimes National, you just need to let it go.
I will send you guys a screenshot. It's pretty long. National.
No, she said.
Darn it. National Aperitif Day. Delicious stuff there. National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. National Notebook Day. National Safety Dose Day. And to wrap up the last four or five, National, tuberous. You know what? We're done. Nylon stuff. We're not going to do this.
Oh,
good job, Dr.
This segment brought to you by Hooked on Phonics.
And I've let you do an hour. This should be good.
Oh, you're the best. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get them within two. Our first birthday, Chaz Palminteri. Palminteri.
Do what?
40, Chaz Palminteri.
41.
40.
79. He's the guy that's in all the mobster movies.
Oh, I don't know.
Obviously, y'all didn't know.
Palma what? His name.
Palmo?
Palminteri. Chaz Palminteri. All right, speaking of mobster movies, the Soprano daughter, Jamie Lynn Sigler.
38.
Ooh, 42.
44, Dr. Crane's on the board. Well done there, buddy. Let's see who this is. Not a lot of celebrities on the entertainment side. All right, let's go down here. Actor-singer Lenny Kazan. Lenny Kazan.
What does she sing?
She sings that one song that was in that one show.
Oh, thanks.
28.
30? 83. Nice.
Rapper Melly Mel of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
63.
65.
64. That's a push. Actor David Charvet of Melrose Place.
Yeah. 64.
62.
53. Guitar player. He might have been at our station last week. Guitar player for Shinedown, Nick Perry.
46.
41.
41, exactly. Dr. Crane's up 3-0. Lead guitar player for Cage the Elephant, Brad Schultz.
42.
48.
43. Chasers on the board. It's 3-1. Oh, we got some good sports birthdays. One of my favorite baseball players of all time missed a game in the 1980 World Series because he had hemorrhoids. George Brett. How old is George Brett today?
64.
67.
72. Oh. Dan Patrick, who you can hear where, Chase?
On Sports Talk 8:30 a.m. Dan Patrick is 63.
67.
69. Knicks up 4-1. John Smoltz. Today is John Smoltz's birthday.
52.
55.
58. The great all-time leader running back in yards, Emmitt Smith.
Two of my heroes. 60.
67.
56. Heisman Trophy winner Desmond Howard, who is terrible on game day.
55.
52.
55, exactly. It's 4-3, Dr. Crane. Rod Smith, former Denver Bronco wide receiver who caught a couple big touchdowns in the Super Bowl versus the Falcons. Rod Smith.
58.
59.
55. Ray Lewis. Either one of you two want to take a stab at it? Shut up.
47.
I might poke at this one. I'm going to go 51.
He is 50. Dr. Crane's up 5-3. Down to our last two. Tennis player Andy Murray. English tennis player Andy Murray.
50.
43.
38. Our last birthday. Dr. Crane's up 5-3. Ryan Leaf. the much maligned quarterback who found redemption, Ryan Leaf.
51.
55.
Why are you yawning?
What?
Is it that bad you have to yawn on air?
I'll 55. Wake him up for you. Don't worry.
Good Lord. He's 49, but that is not good enough. Dr. Crane, you win 5-4.
Thank you,
congratulations,
gentlemen.
Dr.
Why need
Crane.
Phonics when you can win at celebrity birthdays?
Yeah, something.
Why? Did we put you to sleep? I mean, is that? Thank you.
Look, Jake Wellman's here.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, it is him. Hey, Jake.
That's going to do it.
Got 1,000 questions for Chase. Here he is.
That's going to do it for us.
Hey, we might be on the road, but listen, doesn't mean the fact that we do not love you guys or love our audience. And to the guys out there, we say it all the time. If you are struggling and hurting, please talk to somebody. We are here for you. You can call or text on your cell phone, 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you. Somebody's always there to talk to you. No matter what you're going through, you have to talk to somebody. Please do that. Know that if something happened to you, you'd be tremendously missed. That's why we tell you guys every show that you are tremendously loved. We mean it 100%. Not only do we love you, more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Nick and Connor will take it home. They're coming up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.